The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, hour two. Still hasn't gone over. Just saying. Going to go over soon, but hasn't gone over yet. 96-86, 8-11 to go, fourth quarter. Heat leading by 10. A little run here by the Celtics. Have outscored the Heat 10-3 in this fourth quarter. 1-1, St. Louis and Colorado tied with 8 and change to go in the second period. And earlier tonight, it was the Lightning. Shout out to Sean King.
Hashtag never in doubt.
4-1 victory over the Florida Panthers. And to talk much more about the Stanley Cup playoffs, bring in, I could say, friend of the program.
That's
been
right.
On a bunch. We appreciate it. Greg Wyshynski doing phenomenal work over at ESPN. I'll start with tomorrow's games and tomorrow's series because I know my partner Greg is just going to gush and drool over his Tampa Bay Lightning. So let's start with Rangers-Carolina. Both these teams needing to go the distance to win their respective first-round series. Series price, Rangers plus 175, Carolina minus 200. How do you handicap this series, and how deep are we going between these two teams?
Well, I may not go that deep because I think Carolina has a few distinct advantages in this series. They're the better team at 5-on-5. That's clear. I watched all the Rangers games against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Penguins had the better of 5-on-5 play in that series, and I think Carolina is an even better, even strength team. The Rangers really get a lot of juice out of their power play. That might be negated. The Hurricanes had the best penalty kill in the regular season. And then, you know, Carolina's games against the Boston Bruins in Raleigh were just really lopsided affairs. They play really, really well at home ice. They were the best defensive team at home in the regular season. So there's a lot of things kind of pointing to the Hurricanes' direction in the series.
Well, let me put some context on this, Greg, because I've taken the approach, and I gave it out last night on the Nightcap, I'm betting the underdog in all four first-round games because I feel like outside of Colorado-St. Louis, which I don't think is 50-50, the other three series, I mean, in my opinion, could go either way. To talk specifically about Hurricanes versus Rangers, talk to me about momentum in hockey. I agree, especially early in that series, the Rangers 5-on-5 was below average, and then they got a game with no Sidney Crosby, so that helped. But I felt like the way Game 7 ended, they have the momentum. Now, I hate that Carolina's at home because they seem to be unbeatable there, but they still don't have Frederick Anderson. So I'm thinking that Igor could potentially steal one of these games if he plays at his full potential.
He could. You know, and keep in mind on the Freddie Anderson part, I mean, Antti Raanta's got a pretty – hefty save percentage in the series and has played extraordinarily well on home ice for them with Anderson out. So it may not be necessarily a goalie detriment for the Hurricanes in the series. But momentum is a tricky thing to figure out, but I do believe that it exists as far as confidence for individual players. And to that end, Igor Shesterkin had his best game since game one in game seven. He played really well and I think was one of the main reasons why the Rangers were set up to win that game in overtime. So if you're looking for some signs of life from him, because it has not been a very good playoff so far for him, getting twice, and he gave up three or more goals in six of the seven games in the previous series. Maybe that's a little bit of some good signs for him, the way he played in that game seven.
Greg Rusinski here, ESPN senior NHL writer. Now, we almost blanked Canada. You know, Edmonton and Calgary were deep in game seven, and it looked possible. But as fate would have it, Edmonton does play Calgary in this series. Connor McDavid was unbelievable in that series versus the Kings. But Leon, I don't want to pronounce his last name wrong. Is it Drysdale?
Drysdale
didn't seem to be 100%. Do you have an update on the Edmonton forward?
Well, there was some talk about his ankle being a little messed up and not being 100% towards the end of that series. But obviously, he did play in the game seven, so you have that. But listen, the story of the Oilers right now is twofold. It's one, it's Connor McDavid playing on a level that maybe we haven't seen since the heyday of Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky, as far as a single player being able to influence and impact the result of a series. He was on the ice for the Oilers' last six goals in games six and seven of that series. I mean, he's just, whenever he's on the ice, something's happening in a positive way for the Oilers. The other story is Mike Smith, their goalie, who is over 40 and kind of a guy that a lot of people have bemoaned for them bringing him back this year after a couple of sort of mediocre seasons in Edmonton. He's got two shutouts. He's got one of the best goals saved above expectation in the league in the first round. Those two, the factors in their favor right now, give them a chance in this Calgary series. But I think overall, the Flames' depth here is going to be the determining factor, and I think it could be. I think it's going to go seven, just because of the rivalry aspect of it. But I've also seen many people expecting it's going to go a lot shorter.
You know, Greg, talking about Calgary coming into the first round, I was like, if there is a team that I think can give Colorado problems, it was Calgary. But I became very disenfranchised with them and their offensive output in the Dallas series. Now, I know Ottinger was in God mode in game seven, but when you look at the Calgary offensive inefficiency, do I just say and chalk it up as, okay, Dallas just played lights out defensively and in goal, and Calgary is going to regress back to where they were during the regular season, which was pretty darn good on offense?
Yeah, no, I think they're going to come back. I do. Their shooting percentage in that series at one point, I think, was like just over 3%, which is just pathetic. I mean, like, they got nowhere to go but up. And I also think, like you said, that Dallas is a really stout defensive team, and Ottinger played out of his mind during some of those games in the series. So Edmonton's not a pushover defensively. I thought they actually played a really good defensive game in game seven against the LA Kings. But that being said, I don't think that they present the same challenges that Dallas does. And I think some of those scorers that were stagnant in the opening round are going to have a bit more of an opportunity to make some hay against the Oilers.
Chatting once again with Greg Rusinski, senior writer from ESPN, at Rusinski on Twitter. Before I pivot back to what we saw earlier tonight, the Tampa 4-1 win over Florida, what are your predictions of the two series that get going tomorrow night?
Well, I'm taking Carolina in theirs. I'm taking Calgary in theirs. In Carolina's case, I think I had them winning in five.
Wow.
I just think Carolina is a team that rolls. I know that the Rangers, to their credit, are not going to be a pushover. They're not going to be a team that quits. But, the way that Carolina plays at home, what you're looking at basically is if, they take the first two and then split New York, I think they can make a pretty quick series out of this, which would obviously behoove them with what could be coming next. So I like them. And then in the Calgary situation, like, it's a combination of Jacob Markstrom, their goalie, being the best goalie statistically in the playoffs so far. I think that he's going to continue to be stout. And like I said, I do think that they're going to be able to pick up the pace offensively against the Edmonton team. When McDavid's not on the ice, the LA Kings didn't have the weaponry to really take advantage of it. The Flames had three 40-goal scorers. They've got scoring on most of their lines. I really think that they're going to present a completely different challenge to Edmonton, and I think they're going to win the series.
Greg, I think you're underestimating Reeves' pregame starting lineup announcements. I really do for the Rangers. I mean, that made me feel like I was playing football. Like,
he gets them fired up, man. There's a reason why that guy's there. Ain't a lot of fighting left in the league, right? But like, when you get a guy who can kind of cut through it and make everybody feel pumped up and ready, it's a good thing to have.
Well, Greg, I think my partner over here floated into the studio.
Yeah, I walked normally. I'm used to it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Back-to-back champs. Yeah. But Tampa takes care of Florida 4-1 tonight. You were talking about a little bit off the air before we jumped on here. More impressive performance by Tampa tonight or disappointing performance by the Panthers?
I think disappointing for the Panthers, definitely. Their power play right now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Is 0-21, I believe it is, in the playoffs. That speaks to their best players not getting it done when they should be. Speaking specifically about Jonathan Huberdeau and Alexander Barkov and Claude Giroux and the rest of them. So that's one big problem, is that when they do get a 1-0 lead at even strength, they can't add to it in the power play opportunities that they had, and that's a huge detriment. The other problem is that the Lightning, A, had 6 power plays, which is completely undisciplined on the part of the Panthers, and begging for it when you've got Kucherov and all those guys in the power play, but B, they scored 3 times, and they did so without Braden Point in the game. One of the best power play players that they have, who was out with a lower body injury. So, the Panthers handed them so many opportunities in what's one of the best facets of their team, and they allowed them to score 3 times without one of their key power play performers in the lineup. So it's bad news all across the board, and they're going to have to figure out something for game 2, because it does not portend good things this first game.
We got about a minute left. See, I looked at it slightly differently there, Greg. I thought Nikita Kucherov, who hadn't scored but 1 goal since May 6th prior to tonight, actually looked way more comfortable than he had at times in the Maple Leaf series. And I agree, if we're going to win it all, we need Braden Point. But I thought Nikita Kucherov, who's a superstar in his own right, really stepped up and played an excellent game.
Yeah, because he was in his natural habitat on the power play.
Well, they were trying to cheat, Greg. That's what the referees are there for.
But you're speaking to my point, which is that, even with Braden Point out of the lineup, like Stamkos, Kucherov, Hedman, like they've got so many weapons, and to give them the opportunity to do that at 5-on-4 is just it's just self-defeating. I agree with Jandrew Brunette, the Panthers coach. They played all right at 5-on-5. They actually had the advantage in a lot of ways at 5-on-5, but my God, like, you're squandering that advantage immediately if you let the Lightning get on the power play like that.
At Wyshynski is where you can follow
great
him
stuff,
on
G.
Twitter, ESPN.com. Check all his great work. Greg, as always, we appreciate the insight.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Greg Wyshynski, as the Avs lead 2-1. It's not over yet, Sean. It's we're like 4 points away from it being over. It's the nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Draft like no other, wine like no other. Play free during the PGA Tour with the Meiomi Dare to Play Unrivaled Golf Series. Enter 5 free contests to take your shot at a share of $25,000 in cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Meiomi. That's Meiomi. Now, to join the action, Meiomi, flavor forward. 21 and over. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Drink responsibly. Well, it was a good run. I really thought we were going to get there.
I mean, I don't... You're the only one. I told you they had picked out the casket and decided where your cemetery plot was going to be at.
Come on now.
You was already
gotta believe. You got to believe that.
If ever there was a ticket you could have set on fire, this was it.
There was some defense, baby. It's $109.99. 3.5 minutes to go. Go ahead and cash your over tickets. Well done by you for those who faded or just like playing overs. Because
I got a question.
This one came home. What's up?
If Horford and Smart play, you think it stays under? I mean, you take out two of their best guys. And
I mean, Marcus Smart's a defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But Horford's also much better on offense as a big than anybody they played tonight.
Well, they had that stretch at the end of the second quarter that they got red hot. Look, it was...
Like, I thought Boston was going to struggle to score.
The in-game total...
Boston's about to end up with 110, 115, somewhere up in there.
Well, Miami is red hot right now. And Jimmy Butler is getting himself to the line. He's hitting that mid-range that he thrives in. And he's got 37 tonight.
Yeah, he's trying to earn being called a star.
You know, and one thing, it's interesting. JVT pointed this out in his write-up, and I know he ultimately went with the Celtics. But once again, this was prior to the knowledge of Marcus Smart, now Horford being out. The Heat this year, Sean, with 3 days of rest or more, which is what they had coming mm-hmm. into tonight, 5-0 straight up, 5-0 against the spread. And here tonight.
That's why I don't count them bubble year, because that's what they need. They need a break. Time off.
Well, it's funny. You sound like Pat Beverly, because I'm sure, you know, Pat Beverly, who said the Lakers, you know, is a bubble championship. I'm sure Pat Beverly, who was a part of the epic meltdown of the Clippers, I'm sure if he had won a title, I'm sure he'd be calling it a bubble.
You know, I was rocking with Pat Beverly, by the way. I'm going to go ahead and comment on that. I was rocking with him until he bumped his head during one of the breaks and came back and said he thought Harden was still a super max. Super duper max was actually what he said. See, I was with him pretty much on everything
today's
else.
The thing,
but he lost me right there.
You know Chris Paul got him for 41 last year in Game 7, right?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the head-to-head matches. I'm talking about the comments.
Yeah, he's talking about, I mean, look.
But I don't think he was arguing about Chris Paul's offense. He was talking about Chris Paul as a defender.
I mean, saying that everybody in the league wanted Phoenix, come on. I mean, look, I like opinionated people. He's going to be really good.
I'm not going to argue that might have been how they felt. They might not have wanted it after they got it, but they could have wanted it going into it.
Right.
I mean, y'all have to take it at what he said. They probably did want it. It's a lot of people during Jordan's reign that said, we want Chicago until they got Chicago.
That's true.
You know, so he could have been telling the truth.
It was like the Celtics, you know, Paul Pierce and KG, they all wanted LeBron until Game 6 came around in 2012, and he went for 45 and 15. And they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, that happened.
I mean, he ain't telling any lies until he started talking about Harden. So, obviously, Harden is his boy. They probably hung a little bit in Houston, and he just – he's always indebted to Harden. Or maybe before he had the money he has now, Harden looked out.
Jimmy Butler is feeling it tonight. Man.
I'm happy for Butler, too.
Jimmy Butler is playing his behind off. He's got 39 now, 8 boards, 5 assists, 4 steals, a couple of blocks. This is a hell of a performance.
I'm happy for
from
Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
You know why I'm happy for Butler? Because I imagine somewhere the powers that be in Philadelphia that decided Tobias Harris
mm-hmm.
was a better long-term play than Jimmy Butler as a partner to Joel Embiid. I hope they got some real friends next to him and just looking at him like, and then that Fred Stanford, you big dummy. Think about that. The 76ers chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. They had to pick which one they were going to pay. They decided to pay Tobias and not Jimmy. Wowzers.
Yeah, he is
oh, my goodness.
He's playing tremendous.
Good for you, Jimmy.
Through this postseason and now here in game one. So we'll talk more about it when this game goes officially final and we'll get the adjusted price on the series. But, you know, is that the time? And I mentioned it yesterday. I thought Boston entering yesterday was going to win the title.
Okay.
Is it now the time to buy in on it?
Nah. If there was a game that Boston was going to be flat in the second half, I thought it would be this one.
Yeah.
Just because of all the energy that they had to exert in Game 7, Game 6 to even make it to Game 7. Meanwhile,
they lost Game 1 against the Bucks at home.
But it was the end of the series that I thought was exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were on elimination. They were in Milwaukee. It was Game 6. Like,
yeah.
You know, they had to fight, scratch, claw. Meanwhile, Miami was playing James Harden and the Sixers. He decided to shoot twice in the second half. So it just is a whole different energy. So I felt like if they were going to be flat, it would have been tonight. Now, they need Horford. Horford's a big part, and offensively he makes everybody better because he can stretch the floor. So you can't really do what Miami wants to do, which is keep Bam in the paint and have an extra rim protector there. So I think it's important that they get him back. By the way, it's only a 7-point game. I'd love a backdoor cover here.
And that's the thing, Sean, about this game is it's felt like, you know, look.
Game is going 7, by the way. This series is.
Boston had the lead at the half, right? They were up 62-54. The third quarter was a disaster for the Celtics and just phenomenal by the Heat. They outscored them 39-14. And as I mentioned, the telecast, I don't know what it's up to now, but Miami is the best third quarter team right now in the playoffs. They've been crushing teams out of the gate in the second quarter. But, I mean, what's the final score going to be? 8, 9, maybe 10 point?
I hope.
I mean, hopefully for your case,
it's
two.
A 4-point game and they hit a 3 at the buzzer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
At that point, yeah, I want to make sure it comes home for you, but.
Well, I wouldn't take too much out of this. I feel like whatever you thought pre-flop, I probably feel the same way.
And that's why I said,
I like Miami, I wouldn't feel any stronger. I just would feel like this was situationally one that's set up for us. If I'm on Boston, I wouldn't, you know, get carried away and jump ship either. What I will do now, though, is if I like Boston, I would look into taking them for the series. And you'll get a better number.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, they were as high as, I think, minus 190 in some spots. You see it right there at DraftKings, minus 180. So what is the adjustment after this game, and is it time to buy in? That's why, you know, it was a bit of a risk, and I guess you could say, why didn't you play the Heat? Well, I wasn't totally confident the Heat would take care of business, but I wasn't ready to fire on the Celtics coming off of the battle that they had in Game 7, that whole entire series, and, you know, quick turnaround while the Heat had the rest advantage. Now, Heat are going to take care of business. They're going to win Game 1. Unfortunately, the over's going to hit with lots of comfort.
I love this little Pritchard dude.
Peyton Pritchard?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
like, if he walked through the mall, like, you wouldn't know who he was. But he got game.
Got 4 threes tonight, finished with 18.
Yeah.
So there it is. Final seconds ticking off. Miami going to win 118-107. Over hits. Home favorite takes care of business. We will get the updated series price shortly. You know, we will get an updated futures board shortly, too. So if you're on Team Celtics, and once again, Jonathan Von Tobel will join us top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on it. Is this the time to look into investing in the Celtics?
Yeah, I feel bad for JVT.
That's a tough break.
Yeah. Because you're forced to put it out early, you know, so people can get the information and decide what they want to do. But, I mean, good. Horford catches COVID. I mean, come on.
By the way, SMG says, no, Tim, don't do it. Heat will win the series. Okay. Well, hopefully you took the plus price because you could have got a good price on the number one seed, home court advantage.
See, what I'm hoping happens is that the Heat wins game two and I can get plus money on Boston. I'm hoping Horford and Smart don't play in game two and the Heat win.
I don't think Horford's playing in game two.
Good.
Smart, I don't know. I mean, Smart.
Hope he sits.
He played game 7, and now he's out for he was out today. So, but it is in the books. The Celtics fall to the Heat, 118-107. Jimmy Butler goes for 41 tonight, Sean. 41 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, 4 steals, 3 blocks as the Heat take care of business. And for Jason Tatum, 21 of his 29 came in the first half. He was held, I believe, I want to say one or two shots made from the field.
So here's how this is going to play out. Smart's going to sit game two. Butler's going to have another big game. They're going to get back to Boston. Smart and Horford are going to come back. Smart's going to prove the rest of the series why he was NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Put Butler in cuffs. Lock him up.
Maybe you should just, you know, play him in game two. Nah. And not have to win 4 games in 5.
The foot ain't right. You got to wait. Can't be out there halfway against Butler.
We'll get back to a little puck in depth on the Oilers Flames. We'll discuss that next right here on the Nightcap.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keep it rolling here on the Nightcap. If you're just joining us or just finished watching the Heat take care of business and win game one. So the Heat take a 1-0 series lead, winning 118-107, 41 points from Jimmy Butler. Heat win, cover the point spread, over hits in that one. After two periods in Colorado, and the Avalanche have a 2-1 lead over the St. Louis Blues. So two of the second round series got going tonight. And two more will get started tomorrow night. And to get an in-depth look at the Edmonton and Calgary series, which obviously we'll be keeping a very close eye on, and it'll be on during our show, we check in with Reed Wilkins, who covers the Oilers on 630 CHED in Edmonton. Check out his program 6 to 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Reed, we appreciate you jumping on, and both Edmonton and Calgary having to go the distance. Let's start with that Edmonton series. What was your biggest takeaway from that? Because I think a lot of people, including myself, were a little surprised at maybe some of the early performances against the Kings. Did you feel the way that they finished off that series, they're hitting their stride heading into this Calgary series?
Well, I hope the Oilers learn from that series. You know, they lost game one. They didn't play very well out of the gate. I think the excitement and hype of being in the playoffs and playing back in front of a crowd maybe got to them, and they fell behind early. And then they blew the Kings out in games two and three. And maybe in some ways that was the worst thing that could have happened to them, because very lackluster performance in game four, very lackluster performance for most of game five. They rallied in the third to take it to overtime, but lost early. And then I thought in game six and seven, they were clearly the better team. You know, started the game well, got the lead, checked well, didn't give LA a lot of grade A scoring chances. And then the 2-0 win in game seven, I think the final score, you know, flatters the Kings. I think Jonathan Quick kept them in that game, and they missed a couple grade A scoring opportunities. Here's the one thing I want everybody to keep in mind for the Edmonton Oilers. They are traditionally a team that does not start games well. And I'm not just talking about earlier this season where they had long stretches in which they didn't score the first goal. This goes back to 16-17 when they broke the 10-year playoff drought. And their coach was Todd McClellan, who's now with the LA Kings. They often didn't play well in first periods and fell behind in games. When they changed coaches midseason and had Jay Woodcroft come behind the bench, they got better at starting. They initiated more. They grabbed the lead more often. So an old problem kind of hindered them in their three losses against the Kings this season. So hopefully they start games well against Calgary, because you cannot afford to fall behind against the Flames.
Avery, thanks for coming on the show. When you look at this Edmonton team, you know, first of all, take your hat off to Connor McDavid. I mean, he was in God mode in that Kings series. But Leon, and I hope I'm pronouncing his last name, Draisaitl, is that how you correctly pronounce it?
Draisaitl
was actually second in the league to Auston Matthews in goals. He's battling a high ankle sprain. How close is Leon to being fully healthy for this Flames series?
I don't think he's close, Sean, but he's going to play. The general manager of the Oilers, Ken Holland, was on another show on our station today called Oilers Now. And he said, you know, Draisaitl didn't practice today. Neither did Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or Evander Kane, who are two other key members of the Oilers. But Ken Holland said that they will all play tomorrow. You know, I would not be surprised if however long this playoff run goes for the Oilers, whether it goes just another week or whether it goes right to the Stanley Cup final, it wouldn't surprise me if Leon Draisaitl doesn't practice the rest of the way. I mean, clearly in game six and seven, he was hindered. Quite frankly, I think something was bothering him even before he got taken down by Mikey Anderson in a scrum in game six, which seemed to create a problem or make an existing problem even worse. But, you know, he clearly didn't have the jump and the burst that he usually has. So I don't think we're going to see Leon Draisaitl at 100% until training camp next year. But as you guys know, it's the playoffs. They're going to play through pain. They're going to do whatever they can to manage it. And I think, you know, on my show today, I referenced, you know, Mario Lemieux back in his heyday when he had the back problems.
and he didn't practice or take game day skates. He got his trainers to tie the skates for him before the pregame warm-up. He took the pregame warm-up, played the game. Those are the only times he was on the ice. Drysdale might be sort of in a similar situation here.
You know, if you're Jay Woodcroft, when you look back at that Kings series, you know, to me, when Edmonton's at their best, because they have so much offensive talent, you mentioned, you know, Evander Kane. They also picked up Hykman, I think is how you pronounce his name, you know, at the trade deadline. They're this free-flowing, creative, aggressive, getting a bunch of shots on goal, offensive juggernaut. I felt like they let the Kings drag them into more of a slowed-down, you know, conservative, especially until late in those games, kind of style of play. How does he get them back to what they're best at?
You know, I think that your observation is an accurate one. And I think, you know, the players the Oilers have added, you know, they've signed Evander Kane midseason. They signed Zach Hyman as a free agent last summer from Toronto. You know, they've had Ryan McLeod as a younger player who debuted last year late in the season and now is starting to look more like an established NHL player. Josh Archibald is playing on the third line, who missed most of the season with myocarditis and couldn't travel to the States because he's not vaccinated. Now he can play in every game. And you know, the Oilers have often had that reputation as, yeah, sort of that high-flying, globetrotter-like team. They can score fancy goals off the rush. But that's harder and harder to do when you go into the playoffs and teams defend better. And I think you're right. The Kings worked on taking away the neutral zone from the Oilers. Now, when the Oilers can get it going, and I think this is an advantage, or this is something to watch against Calgary as well, they need to get the puck in behind the defense, find a way to shoot it in intelligently into a spot where you know, you're going to make the Flames defense turn and you can go in there and bang a little bit and then get a cycle game going down low, because the Oilers have more players and more lines capable of doing that than they did the last couple of years in the playoffs. And they can sort of come at you in waves. You know, the problem with the Oilers in the last two playoff appearances was, you know, when McDavid and Drysdale weren't on the ice, teams could almost relax and win the game on those shifts. When the Oilers are going now, well, you know, it's McDavid's line, then it's Drysdale's line, and then it's Nugent Hopkins out with maybe a couple of bangers, and then you can throw in a guy like Zach Cassian on a fourth line and go in there and create some havoc. So that's sort of, you know, how the Kings prevented them from doing that at times. Credit to the Kings, but once the Oilers committed to that, it did kind of turn the series a little bit, and they're going to have to do it again against the Flames.
Reed Wilkins here on the Nightcap. Now, Reed, Lord Stanley has spoken. He obviously likes beaches. You know, he likes sand. He likes palm trees. That's why he's taking a residence in the great city of Tampa, Florida. I, for one, think, you know, for the third time in the last three seasons, he will ultimately end up back in the same place. Having said that, I don't know what happened north of the border, but obviously he doesn't like Canada too much. It's been 1993, Montreal, last time Lord Stanley resided in Canada. How big a series is this for Edmonton and Colorado, or Calgary, considering they're basically carrying the Canadian hopes for this season?
Well, I think even if there were other Canadian teams alive, this is going to be one of the most memorable things that will happen in the province of Alberta this year. And I say that with all due respect to, you know, obviously there are a couple other pretty serious things going on in the world. But I'll put this in context for you guys. You know, they played, you know, some series in the mid to late 80s, and then they had a series in 1991. And those series, for the people like me who are old enough to remember them, are still talked about and remembered and revered and rehashed. And I'll specifically refer to the series in 1991. They played in the first round. I mean, usually when they played in the 80s, they played in the second round to get out of what was called the Smythe Division. You know, and now this year they're playing to get out of the Pacific. They were playing to get out of the Smythe Division in 1991. And it was this incredible back and forth physical series, full of hatred, full of animosity. You know, fans pulled into it. Every game was life and death. And Edmonton won in game 7 overtime. The Edmonton Oilers did not win the Stanley Cup in 1991. That series is probably talked about as much, if not more, as some of the series the Oilers actually won the Stanley Cup in, or won on the way to winning the Stanley Cup. So that's how huge this is. There's provincial bragging rights. One team after, years of falling short, missing the playoffs or losing early in the playoffs, one of these teams is going to go at least to the conference finals. So it's massive. I don't know if the winning team is going to adopt itself as Canada's team. I mean, who knows? I guess that's rough for the rest of the Canada to decide, but certainly there's going to be bragging rights in Alberta for at least a year.
Reed, we got 20 seconds. What's your prediction? How do you see this series playing out?
I'm going to make the homer pick. I think Calgary should be a slight favorite, but I will pick the Oilers in seven because I think McDavid is going to will them to victory.
He is Reed Wilkins.
Great stuff, Reed.
Covers the Oilers, doing great work up there in Edmonton. Reed, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Sean, I want you on my show to talk about Hamilton someday, okay, buddy? Thanks.
Let's do it.
There he is. Reed Wilkins. Hey, a little CFL talk. That was plus 1,000.
Lord Stanley down in Tampa on the beach.
You're
chilling.
Mean, man. You're mean. The Nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Spring Special is here. For only $59, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. The next few months, they're going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com, and subscribers will have access to it all. That includes Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, Jonathan Von Tobel, he'll have his best bets all the way through the NBA Finals, Andy McNeil will break down all the action on the ice all the way through Stanley Cup playoffs. Will have also plenty of NFL preseason coverage, not to mention the best bets on golf, UFC, NASCAR. If you want full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want, the cost is only $59 through July 31st. VSiN.com/spring. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Sean is sweating out the Angels Rangers.
I'm not sweating.
You're not sweating?
Madden blew it.
Joe Madden blew it.
Yeah, he's got a clown in pitching. And he just left him in. He's just sitting over there like, now you want to go get him. Now just leave him out there, Joe. See if he can give up 8 runs in the bottom of the 8th. He came in,
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Lead 4-3. He threw 6 consecutive balls. 6. And man's just over there rubbing his mustache.
Well, has he faced 3 batters?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's responsible for all of them. He came in. It was 4-3. They were winning. It's now 5-4. They have no outs.
I was trying to remember the last night. Weren't you like trying to give me, like the calm, like, hey, you got to be calm and all this?
No, I wasn't mad at the player. The player stinks.
You're talking to me. I'm talking about how I react to games.
I'm talking about Jersey Joe sitting over there just relaxing. We got capable guys in the bullpen.
If it ain't
his night, then hey, man, don't let him ruin the party for everybody. Jeez.
2-1, the Avs still leading over the St. Louis Blues, under coming home, and the dog in game one, Sean's Tampa Bay Lightning, 4-1 victory. Nice plus money cash, and a great call by Sean last night on the program. We'll see if another dog can come home in St. Louis. against Colorado, as once again, Colorado leading that game 2-1 about midway through the third period. We'll talk.
I almost feel like St. Louis plays better under pressure. Like, they got that early goal, and I feel like their aggressiveness went down. Like, Colorado has 33 shots, so the Blues only have 22. And you got to be aggressive with Colorado.
But that's going to happen every game this series.
You can't beat Colorado trying to play conservative. And, you know, you got to get out and say, hey, you guys are tremendous on offense. So are we.
I mean, they're going to need, as they come back from break and they're showing Jordan Binnington, I mean, they're going to need Jordan Binnington, Stanley Cup Jordan Binnington.
Yeah, him from 19.
Him to stand on his head. And so far, you know, he's given up 2 goals tonight, but 31 saves. 2-1, once again, the score right now between the Blues and the Avs. 2 series tomorrow, are starting tomorrow. Do you agree? I guess you disagree with, it was interesting to hear Greg Wyshynski talk about how he believes that the Carolina series could be short work. 5 games.
Well, I'm not going to get on the show and put my reputation on the line with the Rangers, but they're capable. Now, can they? Yes. Will they? I don't know. I mean, they were down 3-1 to Pittsburgh.
Sure were.
So that lets me know that, okay, they are very apprehensive. They let in some very easy goals early. Igor was not even near the top flight goalie he's capable of. But then they buckled down when their backs were against the wall. But they also are playing an older Pittsburgh team. If they, you know, put themselves in that same position against this Carolina squad, then, you know, it's going to be lights out. So I get what Greg is saying. I'm just saying I'm going to, by the way, 7-4, bases loaded, still no outs. Probably going to lose. I was just saying I'm probably going to bet the underdogs in the first round, all 4 games. So right now it looks like, unless St. Louis can find some magic in this third period, they're down 2-1. I'll be 1-1 today.
But you'll be 1-1, but
I'll have a plus, yeah.
Plus 1.4 units.
Absolutely. Tomorrow I'm going to take Edmonton and the Rangers.
So how do you – I haven't heard your thoughts. Greg was Calgary, but felt like it would go 7. And then Reed, he prefaced it. It's a homer pick, but he felt like Connor McDavid, on the backs of Connor McDavid, they will get there in 7 games. Everyone seems to expect and anticipate this north of the border showdown is going to go 7. Is this a series that you would look to take the plus price on Edmonton to pull it out?
So I got to see.
And as you mentioned.
Yeah, I got to see what.
Draisaitl's hurt.
Yeah, I got to see what Leon looks like.
Played in game 7.
First game. I just got to see what he looks like in the first game. Like, he was second to Austin Matthews in the NHL this year, 55 goals. Like, Connor McDavid is he's a genius. But it was, and I don't say his last name because I never get it right. It was Leon Draisaitl that was second to Matthews in actual goals.
Oilers right now at circa plus 165 to win the series.
Yeah,
minus 190 for the Flames.
And again, Calgary wasn't hitting on all cylinders on offense. So if they're still, you know, not executing at peak output, I mean, Edmonton's capable.
So we'll switch it over to the NBA. Come up top of the hour, JVT will join us, Jonathan Von Tobel, his reactions to the Heat performance tonight, and we'll get his thoughts on what to expect in the Western Conference Finals. Haven't really talked much on the Western Conference Finals. We'll turn our attention to that a bit in the third hour of the show. But tonight, 118-107 final. You know, it was right there. I think Bad Beats will probably have the under on it. I mean, it was just, we had it the whole time. Went never in doubt until, you know, it went 20 points over. 118-107 the final.
So I have Jimmy Butler, interesting when you finish this about this game.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler was really impressive. 41 points tonight, 9 boards, 5 assists. Obviously, Boston, no Al Horford, dealing with COVID. And then Marcus Smart out with the foot injury. So what jumped to you?
I was watching the highlights, and I didn't see Grant
Williams
get into it with the head coach from Boston. He was telling him something, looked like, about his defensive rotation, and he was telling the head coach, move on, move on, move on. See, that's the issue with a role guy, a role player who has a big game. He starts feeling himself. I don't like that. I was going to take Boston. I'm on Miami now.
So
I'm on Miami now. I've seen it happen as a coach. I've seen it happen as a player. You have a role player that steps up, has a big game, and he doesn't even realize it. Like internally, he thinks he's completely 100% right. But a year from now, he's going to look back and say, I was tripping. And that's what I just saw from Grant Williams.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm glad you brought that up because it was about a month, maybe 2 months ago, and I just saw Tom Haberstroh retweet this. You remember when Jimmy Butler and Udonis Haslem, in the middle of the game, were
right.
yelling at each other, had to be held back?
Mm-hmm.
Since then, Miami's 15-6.
Yeah, but Jimmy Butler's a...
No, I know. It's
he's
just
the highest paid guy on the team.
He
leaves it on the court. He's done it for years.
It's very interesting to see that. And another great stat about Jimmy Butler is tonight was his fifth 40-point game in the postseason. That is the third most over the last 30 postseasons. The only players to have done it more, LeBron's done it 12 times. Shaq did it 8 times. And the crazy thing about that stat, he has 0 40-point games in the regular season. He steps up. And we saw it a couple years ago in the bubble. We're seeing it this postseason. And, you know, I was listening to Drew Dinsick on Gil's show, Primetime Action, prior to, you know, us coming on the air. I thought he made an interesting point, which is, you know, the Celtics kind of, look, they had to battle back from being in a terrible spot this year,
they
right?
did.
A lot of playoff games, a lot of miles. Miami does a pretty good job of resting players and load management and all of that. And coming into tonight, they had extended time to prepare and to rest. The Celtics played on Sunday in a war to close out a 7-game series.
They did.
I need JVT. I need to talk to JVT about it.
I'm going
to
ask him about
the Horford situation.
Grant Williams thing.
One final thought, though, interesting note from Femi Abebefe here at VSiN.
I did see his note.
Jaylen Brown is unvaccinated. Al Horford has COVID. There were pictures of them at practice yesterday. Just something to keep in mind with this whole situation.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.